Amen. That feels better. This is the first Sunday in the month of February. They say the month of February is the month of love. Well, we should have the all year long love. Amen. I want to begin this month. Some of you know that Brother Joseph Walsh Jr. will be speaking for us next Sunday and Saturday at our Consecrated Family Weekend. And we're kind of focusing on relationships this month, not just the marriage relationship, but all relationships. Some of us will never get married, and that's okay. If you choose not to get married, you might be better off. Amen. So we not knocking it. If you don't want to get married, don't get married. Amen. Lord have mercy, you know. But with all relationships, relationships on our jobs, at play, at work, relationships in the church. And I want to entitle this lesson this morning, Biblical Relationship Principles. The Bible tells us that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Life is why we living here on this earth. And God has equipped us if we'd only use what he's given us. And sometimes I believe it's so simple we miss it. I don't have time to give all the principles, but I want to give, I've kind of broken it down into, you see the word harvest, the word investment, and the word grace. And I want you to remember that as we embark on this study this morning, as we worship our great God. If you turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, this is the harvest principle. And I use the word harvest knowing that some of you don't know what that means because you're not a farmer. But you don't have to be a farmer not to know, or you're not from the country. Those of you from the country, you immediately know what that means, because the word harvest was a word of life for a farmer, because it meant if you didn't have a harvest, you didn't eat. And even today, if there was no great harvest, we wouldn't be eating today. And listen to this principle in Galatians chapter 6, verse beginning at verse number 7. The Bible reads, "Do not be deceived." I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. It says, "Don't be fooled. You can be living a life of deception. Sometimes we deceive our own self. Sometimes we are deceived by others. Sometimes we are deceived because we have, quote unquote, some of the comforts of life." And the Word of God says, "Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God is not teased, or God won't be made fun of, or God won't be just pushed aside. God is not mocked." And then it makes this profound statement, "For whatever a man sows," here's the form talk, "or whatever a man plants, this he will also reap," or harvest. "This he will also harvest." It's a simple phrase, but it's a farming phrase, but it's endless, and it goes in the practical life, it goes in our physical life, and it goes for our spiritual life. It says, "For the one who sows or plants to his own flesh, or the one who lays all the seeds trying to have a harvest of his fleshly desires or of his fleshly life, will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Which would you rather have, eternal life or eternal corruption? Well, it will depend greatly on what you sow, what you plant. What we plant, what do you mean what we plant, Brother Gary? See, the seeds we plant become the fruit we eat. See, the seeds we plant, the things, well, so still, what do you mean by seeds? Now, we're not talking form talk. Now, we're talking about what the Word of God, what it actually means. Seeds are words and deeds. Make no mistake about it. The words that we use, the words. Raise your hand if you got a child in here. A child or grown children, raise your hand. Yeah, okay. Well, you know about planting seeds. Yeah, when your child is young, you start planting seeds. You start trying to teach them words. Your baby kids, you know, just little babies. Babies, they don't just grow, come out of the womb talking. And you start teaching them words. Maybe you start teaching them the ABCs. And you, do you remember the first time your baby said ABC? And you go, oh, baby, that baby's smart. Yeah. And don't children just, aren't they like sponges? And they absorb and they learn. And you start, and I tell you what, and if you don't plant any seeds, don't expect anything to grow. And you teach them. You start talking. You, that's why they say it's good not to talk baby talk to kids. You know, we say, you got a small kid. You got Google. And you don't know what you said yourself. Yeah, they say you talk sentences, talk language, talk words. Maybe you voice them out more and pronounce your words clearly so they can hear you. But the clearer you talk, guess what? The clearer what? Amen. It's no rocket science about it. So you know, and you say, well, how do you get your kids to talk so proper by talking?
Amen.
Yeah, and that proper can be defined in different ways, and so. But just like they learn the ABC, they can learn other words too, can't they? Amen. See, if you never curse in your house. And you raising kids, you never curse in your house. Your kids probably not going to curse.
Amen.
Much. Because they don't stay in our house all the time, do they? Amen. So where do they learn those words from somebody else? Planting seeds. Listen, this is a profound, listen, don't miss this. So what are you saying, Brother Gary? Listen to the Bible in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16, 24. Pleasant words are a honeycomb. Now, I thought you were talking about relationships. We are talking about relationships. We're talking about, we're not stuck on the marriage relationship. We're talking about every relationship. And God gives this harvest principle to us for us to learn how to get along with people in relationships. And he says, listen. If you plant seeds to the flesh, and you know the flesh, we just do anything for this flesh, trying to please this flesh. That's what you're gonna get in return. But if you plant seeds of spiritual, that's what you're gonna get in return. But the reward is much greater if we plant seeds of the spirit. The reward is eternal life. See, so he says, pleasant words are honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bone. Listen to what he says in Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Now he says, don't let it leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Children of God, those of us that's in relationship, those that's trying to follow God, we ought to be the kindest people in the world.
Amen.
I mean, we ought to be, shouldn't we? It starts with our words and our actions and our deeds. And you trying to get along with people on your job? Watch what we say. Amen. Okay, I just don't like them people. You know, all of them. And listen, and I'm talking to Christians. I know this wouldn't be a message that folk out in the world might necessarily receive. Are we trying to get to heaven? Listen, with hate in your heart, deceit, foolishness, foul, all this in your heart, you're not going to make it to heaven. And so we trying to get along. We're trying to do everything within our power to have relationships. And we are going to. God didn't put you here to live in a cave by yourself. God wants us to intermingle in relationships one with another.
Amen.
We got to talk because there's a lost world out here. And if we can't save them, nobody's going to be able to save them. Amen, somebody? And so that means that when we're on our jobs, we ought to be planting spiritual seeds. See, seeds to the flesh is an eye for an eye. She don't like me, so why should I speak to her? That's when you speak to her. Amen. Pour heaps of coals on them. Yeah, what are you saying, Brother Gary? I'm saying that in our minds, if our relationships on this earth are going to be better at work, in our homes right now, some of us absolutely already know that we have bad seeds in our home right now, because we've gotten in a habit of responding in a fleshly way to everything that goes on. We get mad and we curse somebody out. We say the wrong things. We say derogatory things. And this simple harvest principle, if we use it, it will bless us. It will bless our lives. It will make our situation much better. Not perfect, but it will make our situations much better in all relationships. Amen. In the Lord's house, in the church house. See, at church, for the most part, we do pretty good. We do pretty good. We come here and we see people and we speak, how you doing? And, you know, how good to see you. And I like that tie. And, you know, I haven't seen you since last week, and bless you. And we hug. We talk. We need to do that everywhere we go. And Lord, no, we don't need to do it in the church house. And we're talking about relationships. I wrote down some phrases, because some of us, we need more help than others. Yeah, see, Brother Gary, because I didn't grow up in this kind of environment. I grew up in a negative environment. Didn't nobody say nothing good. And Brother Gary, I just the way I am, I'm hard. Well, you need to soften up.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're trying to get better, right? Who are you talking to? I don't know who it is. Yeah, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know the Word of God speaks to us if we listen to it.
Amen.
Sometimes you're like, she just, everybody like her. Why everybody like her? Because you talking like that, nobody like you. I mean, you think about it. Who wants to be around a person that's negative?
Amen.
All the time? Who wants to be around? Why would I want to be around somebody who never ever gives a compliment? Don't say they might like your shoes, the type of, they not gonna tell you. And so we talking about relate. We talking about living everyday life. Some of us need this more than others, because some, we as children of God, we walk around bitter, scared, don't want wishing nobody say nothing to us, and I'm not saying nothing to nobody else. That's not God's children. And he gives us this harvest principle. He said, you use this. And I just thinking, I put some phrases together. And some of them, listen to this. See, something we need to learn is to thank you. You might think that's just as simple, because if you're not raised in this type of environment, that's weak. That's not weak. Everybody say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying thank you. But you know what? Everybody didn't say it. I'm just saying, you know. I'm saying, because we are conditioned. A lot of times we're conditioned. We are skeptical. We are, you know, I ain't saying, because, yeah, you can't make me say what I'm not trying to. But we've been conditioned by the world, by disappointments, by crooks, and we are letting it affect our relationships with people that we come in contact with every day. You ought to know, thank you are some words that'll get you a lot of doors open.
Amen,
amen, somebody. Listen, we talking about seeds. See, seeds, sometimes they look like it's something small, but you know what? They seeds grow up to be trees. They grow up to be forests. You know, and a forest is a whole atmosphere. A little seed, you keep doing the same little thing, and you're gonna grow up a fog. A dark area that nobody wants to be a part of. And this harvest principle is powerful. Phrases like what's on your heart. See, you say something like that, that means the emphasis is not on us. We want what's in it for me. Huh? But sometimes ask another, what's on your heart? What's on your heart? Take your time. I'm not in a hurry. Because we all in a hurry, huh? You're very talented. Yeah. You have to be confident in yourself to compliment somebody else. Sometimes we don't compliment nobody else because they think they something. Now, what it is you don't think you something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're talking about relationships. Great job. Great job. I'm not saying, don't lie now. Don't lie. We're not saying lie. But sometimes that's like a little kid, you know, your child, you know, depending on where we are, boy or girl, you kids love to hear great job, don't they? Amen. Amen. It encourages them, right? We're talking about relationship. We are talking about planning. See, and when you encourage somebody, it teaches them to encourage somebody. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know, my grandkids, they draw little pictures, and I love art. I love art. I like to draw myself and do some other thing. I love art. I like nice art. My remember my oldest grandbaby, she'd draw a little picture and say, look, Big Dad. I mean, she's two. She was drawing picture, she'd be coloring all out of the lines and using all colors. I said, ooh, baby, that's good. That's good. And I must say, I'm telling a tale. But I'm really not. In my mind, it's good for her age. Amen. So I say, baby, that's good. That's good. And when you encourage somebody, guess what she gonna do? She gonna bring me another picture. Look worse than the other. She bring another picture. But do you know what? She started bringing me pictures. And you know, I can't remember which one. I said, little Big Dad, I'm gonna show you how to, because I still today love to color. I like to color in the lines, and in the trim, I make a board around the edges. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Make a good board around the edges. I shade it in and a little dark on one side. And I say, now look, now you coloring. You gotta stay in the lines. You gotta stay in line. And I show her the line, and I say, make a board around. She make a board. It can be all zigzaggy. But she kind of getting it. But now that's been 3 years ago. But now you go to my oldest granddaughter and watch how she colors and how she draws. She bring me a picture. I said, girl, you did. She said, Big Dad, look at it. It's in the lines. She got her colors all. I said, girl, now you like Big Daddy. And then you might think you might think that's a small thing. But she might be the next Leonardo da Vinci's daughter. What are you saying? See, the harvest principle is powerful. And it starts at a young age. Yeah, listen to other phrases. These are just suggestions. These are just to help us. You make me happy. You make me happy. Brothers, that'll give you go a long way with your wife. I'm telling you, sisters. Yeah, sisters, that'll go a long way with your husband. You make me happy. Boy, look, he'll go in his pocket and spend some money on you then. Yeah, he need to be spending it anyway, but can I help? You can do it. You are good. And some of us, because we've been doing it already, you say, oh, but Gary, that's fine. Keep doing it. But you'd be surprised at some of us, we don't hear it. We think it don't matter. Oh, you being too soft, and we are depriving not only ourselves, our family, of quality relationships. Let's work together. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, the Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." But blessed are the peacemakers. And a lot of times, a peacemaker is just a person who knows how to use the right words. Knows what to. Let's work in chaos. Y'all, come on. Let's work together.
Amen.
Talk. I'm listening. That's just what I needed. Keep trying. How can we do this better? This is fantastic. I don't agree, which we don't have to agree on everything. I don't agree, baby, but I still love you. Now, those are some powerful words. Yeah, I don't agree. No, I don't know if I get that one, baby, but I love you, but I can't. Yeah. This is so good. I'm here for you. I'm not going anywhere. We can do this. harvest principle. Planting seeds, little words that grow to be big, to grow to be big trees, big foundations in our relationships, which whatever kind of relationship it is, they grow to be huge trees. And you know, people will sometimes, I remember when Mama said that I'm always be here for you. I remember when Daddy sit down and says, "Baby, just Daddy said to me when I was young, said, just talk, baby. I'm Daddy won't just hear what you got to say." I remember that. I remember when he said, just tell me what's on your mind. That meant a lot to me because nobody else seemed like they listened to me. Planting seeds. And then you know, it's seeds, it's words, and it's actions. Because, see, a whole bunch of words without any actions can be very confusing and very harmful. Yeah, let me give you one, and I'm going to move to the next one. Time. Make no mistake about it. There is no substitute for time spent in a quality relationship. And I know life, circumstances, sometimes we can't do everything, but nothing takes to replace. You can send all the money for all the way across the country. You can write letters for days. But sooner or later, you're going to have to spend some time, some quality time in a relationship. And of course, the closer, the more intimate the relationship, the more time you can, your job may take you somewhere for 6 months, but I tell you what, when you come back, you better be making it up with some quality time. Amen, somebody. And I know life can throw us some curves, and I say that because, see, that's why the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. Any of you that's members of this body, you've been away from the body for over 2-3 weeks. You've been coming regularly, and all of a sudden you've gone for a long time. It almost feels like you're disconnecting. Yeah. And so we talking about planting some seeds. Sometimes, yeah, these are seeds that this coming weekend, we've designated a weekend. We're calling it the Consecrated Family Weekend. And we did this on the church calendar to encourage families. Some of you already spend quality time together. And so I know I'm preaching to the choir, to many of you. We call it our Consecrated Family Weekend. Consecrated means to set apart for a divine purpose. We're not talking about for just to be together to please ourselves. First of all, divine means not of this earth. Consecrated, set apart for divine, to be pleasing to God first. And the Bible, don't the Bible say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Notice that. Then it says, and all these things, what things? The things that you could, food, clothing, shelter, things you worried about and running around and trying to do this and trying to do it, the things you worried about. He said, all these things will be, yeah, you're going to get these things. And so we set it aside on our calendar, Consecrated Family. And what we want is our families to spend a weekend together. Notice this. We set it for a Saturday because we're going to eat breakfast together. We're going to come together and we're going to eat breakfast, a big breakfast. We have some activities planned during the day. And then after 12, we encouraging families to go do something together. And that's this coming weekend. And I know everybody can't. We know everybody can't make it because some of us are working. But what we're encouraging is that if you don't do it this weekend, we know y'all must be already doing it. You're doing it sometime. You're spending some time together. And even I think it's worth some things are worth making the sacrifice to do. Amen. Yeah. Some things are worth, you know, some of us have vacation day. We take vacation day to go fishing and, you know, to sleep all for 2 days. Maybe you take a vacation day. Notice some seeds you plant, and if your teenage kids know, Daddy took off. Daddy, were you not working today? No, I took off. Why you take off work, Daddy? Because we're gonna do something together as family. We're gonna be together. We're gonna go to Consecrated Weekend family, and all day Saturday, you are Daddy, Mama, we yours. You think your kids won't forget that? Yeah. And so that's why we set it apart, because time is precious. I shared with the church this morning at the 8 o'clock service. That I got a call early this morning. Call you don't want to get. And some of you know Sister Walker, Sister Wanda Walker. She sits normally in this section over here. She lost her son. He's the same age as my oldest daughter, 34, 35. And they all went to school together, went to preschool together. And it's just pray for Sister Walker, her family. She needs it. She's broken. She's torn apart. I just married Ernest Walker, is his name. Ernest, somebody called Ernie. But he's been living in South Carolina since he's been married, probably for maybe 3 years or so. I married he and his wife in May. And his two boys, he has two boys, and they're having a tough time. KB's, my wife, is having a tough time because they went out home so much, and we're relatives. And I just mentioned that. See, you notice this. When the scripture says, "You sow to the flesh, you reap to the flesh." But when you sow to the spirit, see, some things we go through, the flesh can't, the fleshly words don't even help, can't help you. And I really honestly believe, I talked to Sister KB between services, and I said, "How's one?" And she said, "Baby," she said, "she's having a hard time, but she's so glad that we're here with her." And they are praying, and just, you know, the whole family. And the church, see, but if you don't have a relationship, you don't have that support. And some of us in here right now, it's Sister Wanda today, but it'll be us tomorrow. And so not just in the family relationship, in the church relationship, and I know life can be hard on us, but. We need better relationship in the church.
Amen.
And some of us still kind of filling each other out. You know, this church is a fairly, you know, fairly large. People say it's fairly large, but to me it's not that big. You know, I know maybe because I've been here so long, but there are a lot of members in the church right now that we don't know that well. And I know we can't know everybody intimately, but in family, you got to know, we need to know somebody.
Amen.
And the only way that's going to happen is for us to plant seeds.
Amen.
And it may start out small, but it grows into this wonderful fellowship. It grows into this wonderful relationship. And that's when Jesus said, "I came that you might have life." He's not talking about when we get to heaven yet. And I love. There's some men in here that I love, that I fellowship with. I like eating with my family. I love it. Like this coming Sunday, I'm looking forward. I think I'm gonna fast the night before. I'm gonna tell you, they probably gonna have some good biscuits and some eggs and some sausage. But you ain't supposed to be excused. You talk about yourself. You don't have to eat it. That's all right. But it's gonna be nice, and then we'll get to chat, we'll get to talk, and meet. How you doing? I know you've been coming. Where you go to school? And you'll find out we have things. And my wife and I, we play this game. I don't know if you call it a game or what, but everywhere we go, we always try to figure out who's gonna be the first person to make the connection to that person. In other words, find out what we have in common. And, you know, of course, she beat me 95% of the time because, you know, but I still be trying. Let me give you another principle, relationship principle. It's the investment principle, So we have the harvest principle. Listen, I'm going to give you a couple of passages. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent. Bible uses the word diligent. That's That's a word that means that a person that pays steady attention, he gives steady attention and effort to something. He's a conscientious type. And he uses the term plan if it's taken for granted. The plan is because in relationships, there ought to be some planning. There ought to be some diligence in the relationship. It says this, the plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. What are you saying, Brother Gary? This is what I translate. Make careful plans. Make careful investments. It's a general principle. Even in our relationships, we ought to be. Now, the Bible tells us to love all people. Love everybody, but be careful. Let me read another passage, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. We ought to love everybody, amen? But when the Bible uses the word companion, that's the person who walks alongside of you. That's the person that you're spending more time with. And that's why, we can't, what one person can have intimate relationships with everybody. God tells us to love everybody, but Jesus, he chose how many apostles when he was on this earth. Jesus chose 12 apostles when he was on this earth to carry out his work. And he went around helping people, meeting people. But individuals that you are close, that we're sharing intimate details of our life, we need to be wise who we allow that close. Wow. Yeah, it's an investment principle, and some of you that invest money, you know what it's all about. Well, you should know. If you are an investor of money and you are investing, see, to many of us, the stock, putting $100,000 in the stock market will be a gamble because we don't know what we're doing. But to the individual who does some homework, who takes his time, who gets some wise counsel, and who is smart about it, you're the ones would be the dumb one without investing, and they can invest the same $100,000 in double, triple, perhaps even more, make more money. Why? Because they were diligent. Some of you looking at me crazy, let me say this. To those of you that's single in here right now, and you planning on getting married, you better invest your time, your energy. You better be diligent. And if you want to try to select a mate, if you want to try to select a mate in a relationship that's going to be quality relationship, don't marry the first person and say, you look good. Amen. Or the first person say, I like you. Or I've been watching you for a long time. That may be some good words, but that's not all investing that you need to be, that we need to be doing. Amen, church? Amen. Yeah. The word of God got everything we need. Amen. So what does, listen, our children, you don't need to let your children play all day with every other child. Amen, somebody. Yeah, I remember my mother when we were coming up, my sister couldn't spend a night over nobody's house. That was one of her rules. And my mama, can I spend that? No, they can come over here. What about your mama thinks she too good for everybody? No, she was just trying to be wise in her own eyes. And I'm not, now we, I mean, and I found when we raising our kids, we know at the school, they got all these friends playing sports. And they got, mama, dad, mama, tell so-and-so want me to come over. I said, well, baby, you can tell them to come over here. You tell them coming. We get to know their mamas and whoever else. And some of us, I know you're not in here right now, but some people let their children go be with. That's not wise. Oh, no, but Gary, they relative. That's still not. The Bible got everything we need. And it gives us this principle, and it comes from God. And so what are you saying, Brother Gary? See, listen, if you want to be wise, even if you are not wise, If you are with people that's wise, it's going to make you. Amen, somebody. Let me give you the last one. I'm going to close. Let me give you the last one. I could elaborate on these more. The grace principle, the harvest principle, the investment principle, the grace principle. I'm glad this is in the Bible. Glad this is in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. In him we have redemption. This we are talking to the saints, to the Christians. Go back to the first part of that verse. You'll see that, that chapter. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. We're talking about biblical principles for relationship. In whatever relationship, whether it's on your job, whether it's in your house, whether it's at school, whether it's at play, whenever your relationship, please keep some grace in it.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. We all need grace, don't we? I say we all need grace, don't we? See, if you don't have grace, and you know, listen, this is the reason why some people are by themselves right now. Sometimes it occurs when we're older. Sometimes it occurs when we're young. Some people have no tolerance for nothing. You know, you're in a friend relationship, friend to friend, and you know you're friends. You've been hanging out, doing whatever, and out the friend. You know, the friend talked to another friend, and they talking about you, and you find out that they were talking about you, and you find out that your friend was talking about you to somebody else, and you find out about it, and you just say, you cut them off. You just... I tell you what, she ain't, because she's no kind of friend. If she was a friend, she wouldn't be talking about me to nobody else, right? Right? Yeah, some of you had probably already happened to you, right? Like you have never talked about nobody else. You haven't ever done it before, have you? Don't even answer that. The only thing is she didn't find out that you talked about her. Amen? Oh, no, but that ain't what that's exactly what it means. See, now, especially when that person makes a move to try to rectify the situation. But I'm sorry. And you, okay, that's okay, you sorry, okay, that's fine, you sorry. And you still don't. That's because you're perfect, right? Who's perfect? Ray, stand up if you're perfect so we can escort you on out right now. In relationship. Hey, I know this is not easy. Believe me, Brooke, you simplified it. You simplified it. Because, see, I'm hurting right now. And I'm hurting. I'm hurting. I'm not trying to simplify it. I'm not trying to. And I know some things, you know, we got to work out. But if you don't have, listen to this, Romans chapter 5, verse 20, Romans 5. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. See, I wish I had time to explain this. See, the law would be in the old law. See, for a time, that was not even the old law. When Adam and Eve were on this earth, even after Noah, that wasn't the law. The law came into effect, the law of Moses, after the children of Israel. And after God gave these Ten Commandments, it came to show, man was already corrupt. But he brought the law to put something in writing to show man what you would do. What you won't have no excuse. It's not in your mind. Now it's written. These are the things you are defying. These are the things you are doing wrong. It says the law came in so that the transgressions would increase. In other words, you're gonna know how many times you've done wrong. But where sin increased, grace abounded the more. Listen, for those of us that's children of God, we need to miss, when it comes to relationships, need to miss on the side of being more forgiven.
more forgiving. Amen. People just going to stomp on you. Let them stomp on you sometime. Because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain. Anybody need some mercy in here? I've had some folks, you know, amen. I've had some folks to just to get over on me.
Amen.
You know, because I'm nice, Gary, and they have. And some of them I want to get back. But you just pray for them, right? Yeah, pray for them. Sometimes you might lose a little money loaning somebody some money. Sometimes it's people in your own family make a promise. They don't keep the promise. Sometimes it's somebody right in your house. And you say, I'm okay. Why? Because you're trying to sustain a relationship, you're trying to make the relationship, you're trying to do your part in making things right. But remember, you're trying to make the relationship whole, but ultimately you're trying to please God.
Amen.
And some of this stuff only God gonna be able to take care of. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, and surely don't you go try to take vengeance, because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will. In other words, God sees everything. He knows what's going on. He knows when somebody got their foot on you. He knows when somebody lying. But he gives us these principles. He says, Gary, say, be. He say, I was gracious to you. Oh, help us, Jesus. Help us try to get along better. Amen. Yeah, I need to change my, you know, you go on these jobs, boy, you go on these jobs, you know, stop wearing the mean face. Stop doing that, because the mean face automatically cuts off the relationship. Remember, the seeds are little words and their actions. And you can control your words and you can control your actions.
Amen.
Because what we're trying to reap is the harvest is eternal life. You're here today.
Amen.
You're not a child of God. You need to be. We're trying to make it to heaven.
Amen.
We're not perfect. But we're trying to make it to heaven.
Amen.
And we're trying to be pleasing to God. We know our relationship need to be better, because some of us, we too locked, we too depressed, we too mad all the time, we too tight, wrapped up in a ball to be effective for the Lord.
Amen.
If you're here and you're not a child of God, you come by faith, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, to confess Christ and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can be baptized into Christ even this day. If you're here and you need to get something right in your life, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song?
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching.